Welcome to the Elks Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. Promised you a Denver Broncos recap and a Denver Broncos summary, coaching staff change, a whole bunch of work on Russell Wilson. Unless we got a Deshaun Watson trade, and here we are. So we got a Deshaun Watson trade. So Deshaun Watson to Cleveland. My initial response to this was, I think I was driving. I don't know. I must have been driving. Yeah, I was driving home from a Starbucks, which shouldn't shock. And I was getting ready to do a couple things. I was going to record some stuff, working on some rookie stuff. And I just my response was, holy F. I didn't expect it to be the Cleveland Browns. You know, they'd been told that they were out of the consideration and never gave up, which, you know, I think is a notable, it's a notable accomplishment, in terms of, you know, if you want something bad enough and you not want to take no for an answer, it ends up working out. It's interesting. I wonder if we'll get the full story on some of the background negotiations, whether we get, you know, what offers Atlanta may have made, you know, what offers that, New Orleans may have made contractually, you know, and those sorts of things. I think that'll be really interesting stuff to look at and think like, hey, you know, did they come in 20% over, right? Was that, you know, was the offer for some of these other teams to for Watson to waive the no trade clause if he, you know, if they match Mahomes' contract, if it was more, you know, what sort of is that whole line? I'd be really interested to sort of find that out. So yeah, I mean, it's obviously huge news. Watson's accused of 22 different incidents of involving sexual misbehavior. I use sexual misbehavior specifically as a term. Sexual assault is specifically defined in places. Sexual misconduct is actually a specific crime in New York, which wouldn't actually encompass what he's alleged to have done here. So inappropriate sexual conduct, I guess, would be another one. And those don't go away. Those don't go away. And he hasn't been indicted. He will not be criminally charged. But he's still subject to 22 lawsuits and still subject to, a suspension. Complicated, yes. Is it a great look for Cleveland to pay him as much money as they did? Probably not. Is rostering him, is trading for him during this time complicated? Yes. I tend to think, and I could be wrong about this, but in the history of, the sports scandal, right? If the sports, misconduct, if you will, the misdeeds of athletes, it has typically been a forgiving society, for right or wrong. We think of Ben Roethlisberger largely, you know, post the last couple of years in a positive light. I mean, a decade plus ago, he was what we were talking about vis-a-vis Deshaun Watson. We think of Mike Vick and other things come to mind other than the horrific stuff that he did, right? And it's complicated, right? And he paid a price for it, for sure. And what he did was wrong, right? And he paid a price. So these things aren't, are you forever defined by the worst thing that you ever do in your life? A lot of people are. And there's still chance for redemption for other people, right? And I hope for Deshaun Watson's sake, he probably did these things, right? Are they crimes? That's a different story, right? I mean, I've sort of talked about that a little bit in terms of some of the legal stuff. Like, it's more complicated than you might imagine. Very complicated in terms of the legal stuff of this. Is it wrong? Yeah. Is a lot of stuff wrong? It's not illegal? Yeah. And, my hope for him is that he reforms his life, works out better, and doesn't do this stuff again. And I think that's the hope of all involved. And that's obviously the hope of Cleveland's making a big investment, that that's the case, right? So, I should mention the incidents. I think it's important to mention them. He's not out of the woods yet. He's still suspended. He's still at the risk of suspension. I saw someone estimating 8 games today. It's really tough to put a number on it. It could be a year. It could be a couple games. I think somewhere around the Kareem Hunt 8-game line is a pretty, I think that hits a pretty broad target in terms of what it would be. There's a variety of factors in this. I think that this, if you believe that he violated this, it would sort of subject him to a minimum 6-game suspension. Under the basically what I would call like the Zeke Elliott provision of the CBA. And then you kind of have to move from there. Do you take responsibility? Like sort of, is there a pattern? Is there mitigating or aggravating circumstances and all that? We'll see. I think we'll see how that goes. One of the things that's confusing about that is the actual provision of the CBA calls for, is this one of the prongs? Is this misdemeanor or felony conduct, which it doesn't appear to be. So this is a really interesting one, and the NFL as a disciplining body has done a particularly poor job of creating any type of precedent that you can lean on in situations like this. So I think it's a wide range of outcomes. I would think it's pretty unlikely that he's going to be suspended for a year. But I think somewhere in the 2 to 8 games range, I think that covers a lot of ranges of outcomes. So that's sort of be my thought. Again, you're making this bet for the high-end impact of it, right? The consequences of being right on a top 5 quarterback for the next 5 years is really big. And that's kind of what you're doing, right? If you miss half a season, if you miss 10 games, something like that, but you get, the big tail effect at the end, I think it's worth it, right? Especially if you're considering like rookies or non-proven guys as well, like in the same range, like what are you doing? Like you kind of know, like this is the thing about Watson is he is the leading active yards per attempt, player, right? He has the highest yards per attempt of any active qualifying quarterback. That's who he is. Bigger than Mahomes right now. It's marginally bigger than Mahomes, but it is bigger than Mahomes. So again, complicated, yes. Possibly subject to more suspensions, yes. I think the good part about this is that it will be wrapped by week one, in terms of we know what the consequence is. We know what the punishment is. I am in for a top 5 cost at this point. I am in for the Supermax guys. And I would take them in that order. You don't have to. I would take them in the top 5. That includes Prescott and Watson. And I would take them after Mahomes, Allen, and Herbert. I think any point after that, they're a discount. That's sort of my thought. With a big extension, you could potentially see a guy like Stafford creep towards that as well. The contract thing is a big thing for me at this point with Stafford. But ultimately, you have Watson locked in with what I think is a good front office. How long is that front office there? I mean, I wouldn't hold my breath on the longevity of it just because we've seen a lot of that stuff in Cleveland. So that's really the takeaway. I think this is a ceiling raiser and a floor raiser for Amari Cooper, primarily on a volume basis. I think they're going to throw the ball more. Same thing with David Joku. And David Joku with the cut of Austin Hooper, all of a sudden going to get more snaps and hopefully a higher volume passing offense. That combination is really, really interesting. So that would sort of be my thought. Again, everyone is sort of mocking Will Fuller to to Cleveland. We'll see on that. I am watching and waiting and seeing where Will Fuller lands, because I think he's like the last of really the big impact free agent guys at this point, him and Landry from the receiver perspective. So we're watching for that. Again, as we sort of record this, one name has fallen off, and that is Juju Smith-Schuster has landed with the Kansas City Chiefs. So it looks like it's about a one-year deal from the reporting on it. So that's, I think, a good prove-it spot. Is he going to be a huge impact guy? I'm not sure, but I think he should be able to eat innings. And that's, as an innings eater, you'll take it. I'll take it. I think it's fine. It looks like Boston Scott as well signed another deal, so put him in the committee there. I don't think there's a clear impact there. In terms of, like, I don't think there's a clear HHG there. There's reporting from Adam Schefter that Jameis Winston is back in play for the Saints, which would make sense. Baker demanding a trade. He wants to join the Colts. That would be a natural fit. We'll see there. I think the watching out where Matt Ryan lands in all of this, you know, does he just go back to Atlanta, or do they sort of move on from him? They sort of have until early next week to sort of make some decisions about his roster bonus. And I'll be interested in how that goes. I think by doing it in the order in which they've done it, Cleveland has put themselves at a disadvantage vis-a-vis a Mayfield trade, right? Because now you know that they can't make, right? That they have to make a deal or cut them, right? They have to make a deal. And so you get a pretty good discount there. I would imagine that it's going to cost a lot less than it would cost a situation like the Carson Wentz situation. So just for what that's worth. I think that this is be an interesting time to potentially buy Baker Mayfield from a just the aspect of adding and lengthening your core of quarterbacks. Is he ever going to be a big time player? Is he ever going to make a huge difference? Maybe not. But I do think, some of the deals that we see here, Jordan Love in a second, Baker 209 and Cordell Patterson for Tua. Some of the higher ones are a little bit more. There's Cortland Sutton, Jordan Love in a second in there, so that's a little bit more. So you start looking down, and then those are really the anything really recent. But I think we will see some more of this. Like, can you get a second round valuation with maybe a non core guy tacked on to that to potentially get a shot? I think that lengthens out your core. I'm going to be taking some shots on that as well. I think Matt Ryan similarly, right? Anytime you get an uncertainty and you get a cheap shot to take at a premium position, again, I think about this Trubisky deal in this way, that makes some sense. How about Jarrett Patterson and a second for Matt Ryan, for example? I think that would make some sense. So those are some of the things that I'm thinking about in terms of some deals, figuring out a way to maybe lengthen the core. I had just this week, and the reason I'm sort of on this kick right now is I just had this week where someone put Stafford on the block and said, I'll take a lesser quarterback in a first. And I was like, take Jared Goff in a first? And they said no. And I'm sort of kicking myself because if Mayfield was an option, I don't know if Matt Ryan was an option, and maybe at some point I had pivoted from Matt Ryan to Kirk Cousins, and it was, Kirk Cousins could bridge that gap, something like that, or any variety of other options there. I just would have had more assets. I'm sort of kicking myself about that. So I am taking buy low shots on quarterbacks, even though I don't want to. And Superflex, I don't really want to have like a glut of mid-range guys. I want to have my elite guys, but I think the lesser guys can serve a purpose of using them as stepping stones to higher quarterbacks, which, again, we talk about as a strategy. It's easier to do that with quarterbacks than it is non-quarterbacks. So those are really the big things. I think Juju's interesting. I think Amari Cooper is interesting. I couldn't get, I've seen Amari Cooper as high as like projected wide receiver 12. I don't think that that's probably where I'm at with him. I do think if you could get like a first plus for him, I would do it. I tried this week, couldn't, I got laughed at, and we'll see if I can do it. I might explore in another league and just see if I can do it. He's one of, if not my most rostered wide receiver. He is at 40%. So I'm going to look to potentially pivot in some spots, take the opportunity to cash out. A lot of it's some super flex stuff, so if I can bank a first, I'm interested in doing that. You know, maybe I can do it as a passer for some other an upgrade someplace else as well. But that first plus construct, I think, is something that'd be interesting to me right now off the back of this news. So that'll pretty much do it. I will have out after I'm done recording this. I'm gonna do my wrap up show for my startup draft that I just did. There was a strategy session about it, and I'll go in and dive into some of the decisions that I made along the way. So hope you enjoy that. And that, again, if there's more stuff that's necessary, I think we've kind of got to the part of a free agency where it's probably not going to be a daily content thing. We can focus on some other stuff. I've got rookie stuff in the works that will just be sort of coming out, you know, as the days go along as well. So looking forward to all that. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.